The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came out from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, beloved of Christ Jesus. Amen. So on this baptism of Jesus Sunday, the words that have caught my attention are actually about being witnesses to Christ. They're in our reading from Acts, where we hear the tail end of one of the most important stories in the Bible. Peter and Cornelius have been led into conversation by the Holy Spirit. Peter, who had always believed that the way to Jesus is through the Jewish tradition, is face-to-face by the Holy Spirit's doing with Roman, Gentile, not at all Jewish Cornelius, face-to-face. Back and forth they go, Cornelius and Peter, witnessing and learning. In the end, they are changed by this spirited exchange. Peter exclaims, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality. The Jewish believers are welcome in this brand new community of Jesus, and so are the Gentiles like Cornelius and his family and his community." So as you can imagine, this has been an important passage in the ELCA movement to welcome and include GLBTQ folks into our body. Perhaps it is also in the conversations that the United Methodist community is having right now, too. I suspect it probably is. In the section we heard today, Peter rehearses the whole story of Jesus' ministry, his baptism, the spreading of the message and the healing, the death and resurrection, even Peter's surprising epiphany about Cornelius and the Gentiles, that God shows no partiality. That Peter, in his very being, has been changed by the Holy Spirit's power. "We are witnesses," Peter says. "We are witnesses to all that Jesus did." In the relationship, in the back and forth, sometimes in the negotiation, we, like Peter, we, like Cornelius, we are changed. We are witnesses to Jesus' power. Over the holidays, I watched the movie The Two Popes. Anybody seen it? The Two Popes. It's good. I would highly recommend it. It's an imagined dialogue between Pope Benedict and the current Pope, Pope Francis. The film envisions how these two men, who are nearly polar opposites, seriously, might have influenced each other, and how the Catholic Church could have been shaped by a dialogue between them. At the height of the sex abuse scandal, Cardinal Bergoglio, the Argentinian cardinal who later takes the name Pope Francis, asks to retire from his position as a cardinal. And Benedict summons Cardinal Bergoglio to Rome, and they have this funny and feisty conversation that unfolds as they wander through the gardens of the Pope's summer residence. It's all imagined. Benedict dressed very popely, Bergoglio dressed quite simply, utterly different men. Bergoglio explains his hope for resignation. "It seems to me," Bergoglio says, "our church is moving in directions I can no longer condone, or not moving at all when the time demands movement. It seems to me that we are no longer part of this world. We don't belong to it. We aren't connected." In the film's imagination, Benedict pushes back on Cardinal Bergoglio, reminding him how years earlier, when Bergoglio was the head leader of the Jesuits in Argentina. He had all the books on Marxism removed from the library. How he required that the seminarians dress always in long cassocks, even when they were in the vegetable garden. How he claimed hard doctrinal lines. "You were not unlike me," Benedict notes. "No," Bergoglio confirms, and then he adds, "I changed. I changed." "No, you compromise," Pope Benedict challenges. "No, I changed. It's a different thing. Life, the life he gave us, is all change. Nothing," Bergoglio points out, "is static in nature or the universe, not even God." "God does not change," Benedict booms. "Yes, God does," Cardinal Bergoglio says. "God moves toward us. God moves toward us." How should we find him then?" Benedict asks, "if God is always on the move." Bergoglio raises his eyebrows and replies, "On the journey. You shall find God on the journey." Is this powerful scene in an equally powerful movie? Could it be that our bearing witness, our living our baptisms, is as much to do with these back and forth conversations, this movement, than any prescribed doctrine? Could that be? There's a spirit on this journey, the same spirit that showed up for Cornelius and Peter that important day in Joppa, the same spirit that guides Jesus and John the Baptist as they negotiate on the river's edge, the same spirit that descended like a dove on Jesus, confirming, "This is my child, my beloved." The same spirit that claims and holds us in our baptismal living. My non-Lutheran spouse reports, "You Lutherans like to have cut and dry answers to what baptism is. Maybe it's not that simple." Can you hear Jane saying that? Mm-hmm. And she's right. She is right, and I know that. She is right. Our baptisms are lived experience, often beautiful, often messy. Grace in progress. Grace in progress. Recently, we as a congregation received a letter and a check from Pastor Ingrid Rasmussen over at Holy Trinity Lutheran down on 31st near Minnehaha. Ingrid had told me this was coming, but it was the letter that moved me the most, so I'm just going to read a little bit of the letter to you this morning. It begins, "Not long ago, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church received an unexpected estate gift. At first, we believed the gift was in error. We had no records indicating the deceased had ever been affiliated with our congregation. While we wanted to accept the money and put it to good use, we felt the need to ask the executor of the estate to provide clarity on why this individual chose to name our congregation in the trust. The executor replied, saying, 'She lived in the neighborhood and admired the work you are doing in the community.'" I'm going to read that line again. "She lived in the neighborhood and admired the work you are doing in the community." Then Pastor Ingrid continues, "In that spirit, we want to share this unanticipated and generous gift with the wider community. Our church leadership voted to give a portion of the funds to congregations involved in the sanctuary network." Pastor Ingrid writes, "We are pleased to send you a check for $1,350 to support your work with sanctuary and immigrant justice. Like the original benefactor, we do not wish to place other restrictions on the gift. Please use it to meet the needs of your community as they relate to sanctuary and immigrant justice." And then she concludes, "Thank you for your bold and faithful work. We stand with you and our prayers surround you." She lived in the neighborhood and admired the work you are doing in the community. There's this chain reaction that's going on here, isn't there? Holy Trinity's neighbor noticed their work, noticed how they bore witness to Christ in their neighborhood. Then Holy Trinity receives this estate gift, and with some back and forth as a congregation and as leaders, they notice the work that we do, notice how we and others are bearing witness to Christ in our neighborhood. And then the chain continues. Our congregation and our partners and our immigrant neighbors grapple with how to live out this calling, how to bear witness to Christ, how to do that in our neighborhood, how to be the beloved community in this fraught and critical time. Back and forth, back and forth. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit gets into the water and won't let us stay the same. More than 3 years ago, some of you began to bear witness. We need to consider sanctuary, some of you said. And back and forth we went. How do we bear the witness in those times? How do we bear witness in these times? How do we live our baptisms? How do we honor the dignity of our neighbors? Even having known this was coming, knowing the check and the letter would come, I read the letter from Pastor Ingrid with tears in my eyes. This is what it means to bear witness to Christ. Of course, this wouldn't be the response of every congregation. We all hear and heed the gospel differently, but this is how Holy Trinity bore witness, and this is how we bear witness. Dear friends in Christ, in these times, I'm convinced we must see one another as God's beloved. And that takes some intentionality. It takes intentionality on days when I am cranky and it's hard for me to see anybody as beloved. And it takes intentionality on days when that person that I want to love is maybe kind of cranky and it's hard to engage with them. And when it's safe, when it's healthy, we must be in conversation. Back and forth conversation. So as we look into this week, I want you to think about who it is that you need to see as beloved. Who do you need to see as beloved? And then make a plan to stay in conversation. Make a plan to stay in conversation. May you trust the voice of God naming you as beloved. May you meet one another, trusting that they too are beloved. May you make a space for holy conversation, for being changed, and may the Spirit of God go with you on the journey. Amen.